If you love the podcast and you want other valuable tools, resources, and coaching that will ignite the fire in you to go to the next level, then look, make sure you jump on the other various platforms we have. Absolutely, our YouTube channel, Alex Ranieri. And in there, you'll find the opportunity to have different coaching and resources and tools and tips, including our podcast episodes in video form, which a lot of people get value from too. But make sure you have a look at everything that we have to offer. High Performance Father is something that is a phenomenal movement that I'm very proud of. It's something that I love in this message that continually grows, and it grows in more fashions and ways than just the podcast. But I appreciate you tuning into this podcast with a couple of 100,000 downloads now. It's just incredible. So thank you very much. Enjoy this episode, but make sure you do go and use the other tools and the other valuable resources that we have. Welcome to another podcast episode. I've got a very exciting guest with us today, all the way from San Diego, USA. I'm joined with Josh Hudson. Josh has been a marriage therapist and an expert in the space for nearly a decade. We just had a great catch up off air. And well, first and foremost, Josh, welcome, man. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, me too, man. Like, after this is the first time that we've officially met as well, and we're chatting off air for probably a good half hour, but I hope you boys are ready for, well, I say boys, but guys and girls, you should absolutely share this with your wives. There's so many of you men listening to this, and we get great feedback. And I just want to say thank you for all of you who not only support the podcast, but support the idea that life can improve, life can be great, and you can have a phenomenal family life and marriage and connection through the seasons of your relationship with your wife. And that's exactly why we've brought Josh on as an expert guest today, and for greater things ahead. I'm sure there's going to be some exciting opportunities, but this is a space that, look, Josh is incredibly experienced in, specifically and professionally, way more than me. And I just love seeing families get back together, especially through turbulent times, and seeing that there's no tricks to this, but things are done ethically the right way. And after, you know, diving into a lot of the stuff that Josh does, it's just, yeah, I'm super happy that I finally jagged him. I've been chasing him for a little while. It's been good to connect. And I'm looking forward to this, man, and obviously sharing your expertise on the thousands and thousands of hours and the countless men and relationships you've helped save, or helped them save themselves, or whatever angle we want to take, where you've really helped them steer their life back on track. And yeah, man, I guess I'm just excited to start with, I guess, first and foremost, mate, like, what, yeah, nearly a decade, like, what led to you, and possibly a little bit of an intro to yourself, mate, but then what led to you becoming a marriage therapist and getting into the space?
Yeah, I always, every time I'm asked this question, I always get the same answer. So if someone's heard me talk before, they're probably going to hear a repeat. But I can't remember where I heard this, because it's not my quote, but your mess does become your message in a lot of ways. And I think a lot of people can resonate with that. You know, early, my parents divorced, first couple of relationships, first girlfriend, you know, first love, cheated on, you know, took her back because I was like, that's what Jesus would do. He would forgive. And so it was kind of using religion as a guise of like my nice guy insecureness, right? And took her back again, cheated on me again. And that created this pattern of just like anxiety, meanness, trying to constantly check her phone. And they're like, and then that carried on to the next relationship where I was cheated on again. And at that point, I'm like, okay, either all women cheat, I can adopt that belief and perception, or I can be like, there's something that I've done that led to these patterns and relationships. You know, it's like the only thing you have in common with the person you're with is you. So I was like, all right, that pain is going to send me to understand why people do the things they do. And psychology was that natural fit. So started to understand people. I was always introverted. I couldn't talk to people, even though I seem extroverted right now on camera, and I get that all the time. It's like, that wasn't how I always was. I was very introverted, shy, and you know, insecure. And I started to learn about why people do the things they do, why trauma happens, attachment theory, all this stuff. And it led me to get my master's in psychology for marriage family therapy. And I started working with couples, saw the whole thing was broken. We'll talk about that more, I'm sure. And then kind of branched off into helping men with my own unique kind of style of like blending all the best of every modality I learned over a decade and thousands of hours. So that's where we're kind of at right now.
Well, that's unreal, man. And you know, in terms of, I guess, those patterns, it's pretty crazy, isn't it? How we think we're doing the right things, or we have the best intentions, but there must be some sort of, again, not that I'm blaming you at all. We get that a lot with the fathers who are reaching out. There's been this disconnect in their marriage. Wife loves them, but they're not in love with them anymore. And there must be an underlying current of energy or something that I guess has led to, I don't know, man, maybe needs not being met, or there's a lack of alignment in the respect or the value of a relationship? Or I guess I'd love to crack that open a bit more, and probably you would have had some personal revelations now that you've got the expertise of looking back. But what do you think is happening, and what does happen when, I guess, fundamentally, whether it's married or, you know, having boyfriend, girlfriend, what leads to that happening, man? Like what did you find was the root cause of that being the case?
Yeah, it's funny because every guy thinks their situation is unique, and it is. No, there are unique elements, right? You know, on the surface, underneath, right? The deeper the wound, the more universal it is. And like you said yourself before we started recording on this call, it's like you start to see patterns. You'd be an idiot if you didn't after doing this for thousands of consultations, like you said. And so, you know, some of the patterns, the most common one I see, at least the guys I attract, because it was my former self, is like this kind of nice guy tendency, this like default husband blueprint that they're like, well, if I give her a good roof over her head, if I am a good father, you know, that's enough. That was enough for my father as well. Right? And it was enough for husbands, you know, 50, 60 years ago when, you know, the divorce rate was a lot lower, but times change, technology changes, women's needs change. And a lot of women are waking up and they're like, I deserve more, right? I deserve more. I'm not happy. I haven't been happy. And usually the pattern is this, right? This is a very common pattern with some shades of gray differences, but it's called an existential psychotherapy. It's called an awakening experience. Basically, it's like something that happens, whether it's a death in the family for my father, my mom, her dad died. It could be a job change. It could be a high school reunion. It could be like a milestone birthday or 50th birthday. Something makes her question her existence, right? Like maybe it's subconscious, maybe it's not, but she's like, I haven't been happy. I have this much time left to live. I'm not happy with this man, right? Like, and I haven't been. And so she gains the courage to eventually say that this is enough. Like I'm going to leave. And it's not easy. It's extremely painful for her. And it's something that usually women agonize over years going back and forth in their mind. But the common pattern is that the man has been complacent. That's just a fact. He's relaxed, right? Being in a relationship is an iterative process, just like with your body, right? It's not like you all of a sudden go to the gym, I attained the perfect physique, I don't have to work out ever again. It's the same thing with a woman, right? Like you day by day have to put the reps in with her to make her happy, just as much as she does with you. But a lot of guys, they're the ones that get really complacent when the woman is working in the relationship to better things. And the moment she gives up, that's when the guy wants to start taking effort, right? So yeah, a lot of times if you can nail down the one thing, it is that complacency, I would say.
Mm. And that's probably, it's interesting too with women, how they are, I guess, naturally emotionally volatile. That could be taken as you don't value me anymore. You don't see me anymore. You know, you don't like, I'm not your queen. And it's a funny one, isn't it? Because we need to take responsibility over that complacency. But then the immediate thing, a lot of men and a lot of fathers that we obviously work with would say, well, I've got the kids and I'm working hard and I don't even do anything for myself. That doesn't fix it by just talking about the situation and circumstances, as opposed to maybe, I guess, looking at what the formula is, which I'm not sure. I'm open to your thoughts, man, on how you would. Is it seeking clarity on what the needs are? Like, what have you found historically, man? And this is probably the $1 million question, what women want, you know, but what do they want? Like, the times change, right? Technology's change is tough because they're getting influenced with unrealistic, to some degree, expectations at times. I don't know. Is it movies? Is it Hollywood? But what is it that you find in the modern world, mate, that are women's needs that aren't being met potentially by their husbands, by their men?
I think it's good to understand the differences between men and women. I think it's getting blurred nowadays. I'm not going to go too much into that, but I think it is getting blurred about like what a healthy masculine man is, what a feminine woman is, and what that should be. But I think a better question you should ask is like, not to try to put labels on her, but what does your wife specifically want in her individual makeup, mm-hmm. right? And you can see those commonalities in female psychology. I teach it myself. Right, like passing all women will test you. She wants a man that will lead, right? Being unreactive, like holding that safe container for her, all those things that are kind of universal truths in the hetero man-woman relationship. But I think it's better to say, like, what does my wife want? What does she be have an invested interest in that? And when you can understand that, see those patterns and who she is and what she wants, I think it's a better approach to have that. But you know, I think again, going to like large brushstrokes. Besides the complacency, like that healthy masculinity, I'm sure you have a word for it, but it's about like recognizing that a lot of these men, when they first attracted their wives, or the guys, listen, when you first attracted your wife, you were on your purpose, right? You weren't afraid of conflict. You cared about her opinion, but not too much, right? You were that man that was, a lot of guys, they were former military. They were just like in shape too. They took care of their bodies. They were quarterbacks of the high school football team. They were in charge of their life. right? And that, again, going back to the complacency, they kind of just relax, right? They put on a few pounds, like, oh, she loves me till death do us part. She's not going to leave me. And that false sense of security allowed them to, again, go back to that kind of relaxing. And they're not offering her on a primal and even spiritual level what she needs to be happy.
Great point, man. Like, I look at that and I try and probably the biggest brushstroke when we're talking about brushstrokes, I look at like an energetic level. And fundamentally, like everything you explained then, pre-complacency, that's a really attractive energy. And look, women have that too. Women have a very attractive energy to a man, masculine, feminine, like you talk. And there's overlap, like you and me can express feminine energy, just like women can be quite masculine. But yeah, fundamentally.
A lot of the husbands listening will be like, yeah, my wife can be pretty stubborn at times. I get that all the time.
I see it a lot, man, with like the lady bosses, right? And it's like they need an even powerful, more powerful man so they can have the ability to submit into their feminine.
Yes, exactly.
And I don't know, man, I'm not here to generalize or assume, but man, I've never seen a fucking happy, powerful woman who has a beta male husband. I've never, there's always cracks. There's always something. But
can I touch on that? Because that's really important. Mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of guys, they're like, I hear this all the time. They're like, my wife just likes taking charge. She likes making decisions. She does it in the job. She comes home. She's the manager at her job. She comes home. She does it. She wears that hat. And it's like, okay, possibly. Yes, she's comfortable there, but she doesn't mean that she doesn't want to be taken out of it. Doesn't mean that she doesn't want you to take the lead. It's just that over the years, she's lost trust that you can do that. That's it. Try taking the leads. I tell guys, like, take 10% more, make 10% more decisions this next week, or 15% more leadership, or just saying, this is what I want. This is what we're going to do. Just see how she softens a little bit. I guarantee you she would. Guarantee it. But like guys, they hold on to this belief and this story that that's just the way she is. If you believe that, it's not going to change, is it? Because that's just like a self-fulfilling prophecy. I mean, come on.
That's so true, man. Like just because it's familiar for them and it brings them certainty because they can do it effectively doesn't necessarily mean that's exactly what they want. Yet on the flip side, their certainty is that you will not take charge. So it leads to this dynamic that's out of balance. And I see that a lot, man. We, you know, with women, the guys will say that the woman takes charge and everything's okay. So yeah, but you don't know that underneath all of that, again, because it's familiar and because she can do it quite well, that doesn't mean it has to be done or consistently done that skewed out of balance where what they could be looking for is that man to take charge. Like, look, I've been with my wife since we're teenagers, man, over 20 years now, Josh. And mate, there are times, and I got to say this, gentlemen, like it never ends. Like since we're teenagers, man, we've been through so many different stages. We've had a couple of bust ups earlier on in the piece. Everything fell apart in 2016, rebuilt better than ever now. And there's so many breakthroughs in these breakdowns, but even now, rock solid. It's just part of that. It's like they're looking for I think you might have said primal. It's like they're looking for that. They're looking for the prize mate all the time. Like in their DNA, it seems like Corinne, my wife's name's Corinne, she'll have these little tests. Does Al still have it? Does he still have the edge? And she'll push a little bit. And I'm really, man, I'm super cruisy. Guys might think I'm quite direct. But then the opposite of that is I just want to rejuvenate and be the lazy lion under the tree, right? And then she'll do something and it'll be like this trigger because I know, like what you're saying, man, what happens if we get complacent? I'll be like, oh, hang on. I don't say I put Corinne in her place, but I will absolutely be like, actually, no, hang on. I don't agree with that. I don't think that's right. And I'm not going to support that. And she doesn't like that at times, and that's okay. And I'm okay with that too, Josh. Like, man, 21 years we've been together. I'm like, you know what, Corinne, you don't have to always like me, but we will always respect each other. And I'm always going to hold personal integrity above everything else. Doesn't mean you need to agree. And I tell you, man, that's just as attractive as like you talk about taking charge, where there's times I'll go in and not to talk rude about my wife, but I'll go in and I'll grab her and pull her in close. I'll be like, you're mine tonight. Like that, it's not no is yes. Like she's my wife, but like that intent, man, she fucking loves that. Like I don't do that every second of the day, but it's quite interesting where guys will hesitate or you're right.
Alex, you don't manufacture either. Like it's an honest, like it comes from within. You're like, I just want her right now. It's not like, okay, I should do this now. Come here. Cause she would feel like, she'd be like, oh, what are you doing? Right. Cause it'd be forced. So I just want to say, like, when guys hear that's really important to know that the intention behind it is really important.
Fair play. Guys might be, do you get guys who reach out to you? Cause you got a great coaching businessman and what you're doing from what I've seen, but do you get guys reach out who are looking for like that? They're looking for the cheat sheet. How do I do this? And it's like, man, it's got to come from like, what are your thoughts around that?
Oh, dude, it's human nature, right? We all do. Everyone, like, if we could push a button to have the perfect body, like 6 minute abs, right? Like, people always want that. It's that, it's the ego. The ego wants the immediate quick fix. And, you know, I mean, I have saved marriages within 4 weeks sometimes and 6 weeks. And I post those on my channel. It happens like at least once a week with some of the clients coming in, but majority of them, I'll be honest, it's months, and it should be months because it's been years in the making. So like, if she's worth fighting for months, if you've been with this woman for 20 plus years, like, you're not going to get her back tomorrow, nor should you. Like, she's going to make you work for it, as she should, right? As she should. And I think a lot of guys, where they strip up there, Alex, is that, you know, the wives aren't perfect, right? They've done things to betray the husband, hurt him. And I think the biggest thing that I see that stops men from like reconciling with their wife and improving the marriage, I think you call it dying on the sword. I kind of paint this like this picture of like a guy hanging on this cliff by one hand, right? And he doesn't want to let go because letting go is like down to this abyss of not knowing what the future is going to hold if he divorces his wife. But he doesn't want to pull the effort of climbing back up on top of the mountain where she is because he thinks that she pushed him. Right. And he's like, you need to carry me up this cliff. And she's like, no, you come up here. Right. And so the guy's just hanging there in pain. Like, I want my wife back, but I still resent her. It's like, that's not going to work. You have to forgive her. That's step number one.
That's a fair point too, man. And yeah, we talk about falling on your sword, and it's tough, man. Cause what you're mentioning, a lot of guys go through where they try and they gauge and measure the wrongdoings, and my wife sleeping with someone else or kissing another man, or is that's way worse than me not being home as much as I should because I was working hard for the family. And that, mate, you look at reality, the 8 billion different realities, Josh, they're all stories. They're all stories that fabricate what we believe to be true. And if the men don't understand, and the women as well, like take Suda Tango, there's 200% in a relationship. If they're not willing to fall on their sword and be like, you know, if you don't own your own shortcomings or at least your own position, then how could you take responsibility, empower yourself and do something about it? You can't, can you? But that's a great analogy you're talking about with the cliff too, man. And so that would be the first step. What is, I guess, I'd love for you to walk us through, just I understand like this is a podcast, man, but a quick guide on, yeah, what are the steps or processes if there's like men listening to this on them trying to resolve themselves first and reignite their marriage? What would be that process? First one would probably be acknowledging their own responsibility, I'd say, from what you said. Or what do you find is usually the pathway to creating the change?
There is like you know, I have like these 5 stages I walk men through. And it does vary if, like, let's say she's in the house, right? Or she gave you the divorce papers, if she's seeing another guy. There are different variables that play into affecting how the guy operates and his strategy. That's why we have the coaching business with coaches, because like there is individual differences that do matter. Again, large brushstrokes to save the marriage, like from a mindset place, because you have to like sharpen your axe before you cut the tree, right? And what that looks like is actively forgiving her. And you're not forgiving your wife for her. You're giving her for yourself, right? You drinking the resentments, you drinking the poison, expecting her to die. And it's like, she's never going to all of a sudden have this like come to Jesus moment. Oh my God, you're right. You're still treating me the same way, but I totally recognize that, you know, everything's like, no, that's not the way it's going to happen. Like, you can tell yourself that. I think that's why like the antithesis of like what we preach, like Apex Nell is like the premium guy that we try to create men into, transform men into. The opposite of that is like a victim, right? You're a leaf in the wind. Everything happens to me. It's all her fault. It's like they come into the marriage program and immediately they're like, I had a client the other day, he comes in first time, first group call. I love the group calls because all the other guys are already embedded into our philosophy. This guy's like, oh, if it wasn't for her family, man, they're so manipulative. Everyone's just like raising their hand, right? Like laying on them. I don't have to say a word. I was like, they come in and they just kind of like lay into him, challenging him because we're, you know, men, we challenge each other. But getting back to the main point is like, I would start with the forgiveness and then taking an honest inventory of like how you honestly got here in your actions. Right. And we kind of guide them a little bit with the 4 needy behaviors that kind of kill marriages. And then after they take an honest inventory, they write like pages of like what led to this. Okay, now let's look at the game plan. We create something called CLC reports, which is like this like closed loop change report. It's like this, once they have the clear, honest actions of like how their marriage got to where they're at, they're able to write out in a letter, which they send to the wife or not, based on what we tell them with the coaches, based on the situation with the marriage they're in, whether you should send it to them. But it's like, hey, I realize after all these years, this is the things I've done. This is how it's affected you. You felt this way. And this is what I'm going to do about it. You don't even have to respond to this. I'm just letting you know. Right. And that is very important because a lot of guys will try to be like, look at the changes I'm making. Now come back. Right. Like here's a silver platter. And the woman's like, no, like they're words. Words are empty. Like, show me action. So, but it is important to like have that insight on paper. And then we have a list of potency actions that kind of guide them across the different stages of marriage. Like these actions I've seen that husbands have taken that from hundreds of interviews with guys that have led to the wife having more of a positive emotional investment with him. Just feeling safe, feeling secure with him, right? Because that safe base is what she ultimately wants. She wants to feel secure and safe with you. And then about other than that, it's just guiding them through that process of the five stages and slowly what I call developing this like emotional tipping scale, where it's like, they're, you know, one side, if people can't hear, see me, on one side, you imagine this scale where you have like all these negative emotional investments that just death by a thousand cuts over the years. Like, oh, didn't take out the trash when you said you would, like, you know, didn't, you know, dismissed her when she was bringing her emotions, or like didn't listen to her on the phone when she was talking about her friend, like all these little things that happened. And then over the years, this ratio went from like mostly positive to negative to like slowly tipping. And then it just like fully tips over when the negative positive goes from like 1 to 1 and 2 to 1. And that's when she's out, right? And so it's teaching men through the process of forgiveness to like have her remove some of these negative emotional investments, and then daily being that masculine leader that's producing more positive emotional interactions with her. And then that slowly just opens up her heart back to you, and she starts to trust you again. So that's kind of like large brushstrokes of what we teach, how to reconcile with the husbands and wives.
That's awesome, man. No, I love it. Yeah, even then it absolutely makes sense on that short example and overview over each step. One of the big things that inventory, like a lot of men don't recognize that, you know, like women want, you talk about security and whatnot, and then they want to see like they already have certainty from your track record and your history on painting, like we're like visionaries, what they're going to get. So if nothing changes, if you don't do an inventory on what's happened and you're not learning and reflecting in the past, then that inventory is probably a collective of what did I do, but also what didn't I do. And then Essentially a lot of men don't realize that the actual formula or blueprint, it's like you said, it can be unique situations at times, but in terms of fundamentally, there are needs that weren't being met and there are things that were leading to sabotaging the relationship. And when you balance them out and square them away, I really like that, mate, the potency actions and then tipping the emotional scale. That's what I would suggest, provide that value and re-recording, even of the subconscious of a woman to go, oh, yes, he is different. It's not just words. He's showing, not telling. And then that would it be true to say that would then put uncertainty in their conviction that, this is over. And then that's what gets them back into going, well, this is version 2.0 and maybe there is a future for us.
Yeah. And a lot of guys too, like if they haven't been surrounded by other men going through the same issue, you know, they don't know that when a woman says I'm done, or here's a divorce papers, that doesn't mean it's final. And controversial take for some people listening probably, but women can say one thing and then the wind blows and then they say another thing. Like I literally had my girlfriend today, personal story, being a little self-disclosure here. We're going to go away this weekend. She kind of got upset. She's like, I don't want to go there. And I'm like, okay, you don't have to go this weekend if you don't want to. Like, I'm not going to be like, but you said you would. Like, and you know, and like for us men, our word is like bond. We say something, we mean it. We don't do what we say, it like eats at us, right? Mm-hmm. For a woman, I didn't feel like doing it. So I said I didn't want to do it. So I don't know where I was actually going with that, but it's really important to know. Yeah. So when it comes to the woman saying these words, I'm over, I'm done. Like if you believe it, then it'll become true. But even one of our main coaches, Liz, I love her as a coach because she actually, her and her husband divorced. Most contentious divorce. She had a shotgun and like took pictures of her shooting her wedding dress. Like that's how bad it was, right? Like bloodbath. And they reconciled, right? Like a year later. And so she gets to tell her story to all these guys when they're like, my wife's giving me the divorce paper. She's like, and this is what happened with me, right? And honestly, all the marriages we save, it's like, yeah, we've seen every situation, seeing another man, in love with another man, right? Moving out, no contact. It's like, if you believe it's like it's done and it will be done. But if you have that hope and that belief that you can get her back, those guys are the ones that get her back, right? It's not the only thing you need, but it is something you need, that there is that belief there.
Sure. Yeah, that's really powerful too, man. Having Liz as a prime example of how women's feelings can change. And then that changes what they forecast in their, you know, the reality that they want. And I guess the double-edged sword with that, especially for someone, man, we get a lot of men who'll reach out and, you know, things are on the brink, so to speak, but then they won't do anything about it because they think they've still got time. And then these same men reach out 6, 8, 9, 12 months later, and it really is bad. And then even then, sometimes they still don't do anything. And that's, I guess, like what you're saying, I 100% agree with, but the only reason that can then be built on to actually create the change is them. Fuck, man, they've actually got to do something about it, though, don't they?
If nothing changes, nothing changes. Like, I don't know what to say to that.
No, but it's just so, yeah, man, like, we're very aligned on the same page, man. But it's just for those listening, like, what Josh is saying is true. And it's amazing. You guys still have, you have more time than you think, but that doesn't mean you've got more time to do the same fucking thing and not do anything. Like, that's why you need to look at, you know, like, obviously the men that Josh has worked with, it's creating tangible change and outcomes is the path forward, showing, not just telling or thinking, well, I've got more time, so maybe I can, you know, it's the greatest gamble I see men take, mate. It's such a gamble, you know?
And honestly, like, that if there's like parts of ourselves, right, it's like that part of themselves that wants to hesitate is also the reason why they're there, because they are just doing the least amount possible. And she notices that. You're women, I love women, they're such a gift. They know when you are not stepping up, they know when you are not being your full self. She is so intuitive, she knows all your weaknesses. And if you are not taking out, she knows that, oh, I bought roses for her, I took her on a date, and she's like, okay, let's see if this continues. And then like a week later, back to the original, she's like, screw this, right? Like, I gave you a shot, I told you. And I think the biggest thing here that a lot of guys need to understand is that with that emotional tipping scale analogy I talked about, is like, what woman will do is, let's just, she gets in a huge fight, she's like, I'm done, this is over. And then, you know, you guys make up, things are okay, the guy's like, oh, she's happy again. Under the surface, this foundation is just slowly deteriorating, right? And then eventually it's just like that last bit drops down and the whole thing falls apart. And she's like, I've been like this for 10 years and I've been wanting to leave. You're like, what? But you were just, you just said you love me last week and everything, and you were smiling. It's like, for us, we don't get it, because it's like that stuff can sit under the surface for a woman. And if you guys have been going through the same process of like fight, makeup, you know, and then go through that same thing, you're going to think as a guy, it's never going to change. She's never going to actually leave me. Well, we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. It's eroding the foundations, isn't it, man? By having that cycle. And, I spoke about two things, I guess, when we're talking with our men on the inside, mate. I'm open to your thoughts too, but I talk about like this marriage and your relationships like this. It's almost like an agreement in the air. It's not a piece of paper, but it's almost like I look at it like a baby, and there's two things that a relationship needs, or for the baby to survive and thrive and grow through the seasons. And mate, the two things are alignment and investment. Like I tell the guys, like alignment is like you're feeding your marriage the right thing. Otherwise, you don't want to poison your baby, right? It will get poisoned. And investment is, we don't want to starve the baby. You've got to keep investing. And I'm open to your thoughts on that, because what we said earlier at the piece, it's so true, man. Like, we can talk about love languages and there's five core ones and what women want in a big overview, but my wife's needs, they change, they vary. It depends on, you know, my kids are 6, 4, and 2.5. So sometimes what she needs is the space and ability to energetically and mentally rejuvenate. She doesn't need flowers. She needs, and it's like, so it does change, but that's where I'm trying to get the alignment right. And then investment, I try and make sure she's not forgotten and she is heard and understood. But I guess, what are your thoughts on I guess that visual that we paint with our guys in HPF, but also like ways to make sure it never happens again, like ideas or tips around making sure that you do have a healthy relationship moving forward?
I think that idea of alignment and investment is brilliant. And going back to the idea of like the iterative process, it's like, you know, going to the gym with your wife once a day, right? And you can literally go to the gym with her, which is a great relationship building thing, right? Working out with your wife. I think there are probably studies showing that like couples that work out together probably have longer longevity. But yeah, it's like you guys sit there and talk about the kids, talk about the bills, talk about all these features, like, okay, we're going to this family trip now. But have you sat down with her and just like looked her in the eye, set time aside with her and been like, how are we? Like, how are you doing? Like, what's going on in your life? And showing that investment, like, what's been going on with us, right? Talking about us, like doing that, like meta level communication. And, you know, a lot of couples don't do it until they go see an expert and a therapist in the office, right? For $150 an hour. And it's like, you know, that's fine. I think you should do that. Even if you aren't good, like you should go see an expert, but you can do that yourself, right? Set a time aside once a week. It should be honestly every single day for an hour, to be honest, like once a week minimum, but like you should be going to the gym every day with her and it could be fun. Right. Like, and you get good at it, but like, it's just not something that people teach, right? No one teaches that you should be having a daily or weekly meeting. There's no guidebook out there in traditional education about how to be successful in a marriage or relationship. And so I would say just having that meeting, just like you have a business meeting with, like, oh, that's the funny thing too, right? It's like you have business meetings with people all day, but people never meet with the most important people in their life. It's just kind of like the autopilot, right? You sit down and watch TV at the end of the day. Oh, how's your day? Oh, okay, cool. Like, it's just like robotic almost, the conversations you're having. And then going along with this meeting idea, I just have to say, meeting with yourself, right? How many people actually sit down and meditate for 10, 20 minutes just being like, how am I doing, right? What's been going on in my mind? And so just more meetings. I like to position it that way with marketing because I think it hits with a lot of the guys who like own businesses, the people we work with. But having a meeting with your wife and yourself is super important.
It's a great way to put it, man. Like you'll commit to meetings in business and in your professional career to all these other people that aren't even living under your roof.
Performance reviews, right? Like all this stuff.
You won't even have... Yeah. It's something that, especially with the young kids, mate, has come and gone, and we do it very well. My wife and I, like, we've got an amazing relationship, but it's definitely not, it wouldn't be daily, probably 5 days a week. But even then it's like, is the value and quality there too? Or are we just doing just because? So it's a continual approach. Even the meeting with Softman, I've started to, it's really cool. I've started to actually set up, not every day, but a couple of days a week, I'll do a meeting with my board of directors of the Life of Owl. So I create this visual, right? And you know, each to their own. But for me, like, God is on the board. So I'll talk to the big man. And then there's Owl version 3.0. And then there's my wife and my children. There's my mum and dad. And I'm talking to myself through their eyes and what they've seen. And I'm almost doing a performance review on me, on life from those people or entities. And mate, that was just it's a crazy exercise. It's so fat because you're in your own company. So, you know, we all have that little self-critic inside. You have the safe space to be like that. Hey, Al, you dropped the ball here, man. You need to do a bit. So you can do that though, but in a place that's actually nurturing and then cool, what's the game plan? And I must say, man, like that's been a really powerful thing where I've actually, like I said, meeting with myself and I block that out. It's my time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. All this stuff we never get taught or we just take for granted, mate. But you know, yeah, unreal. But I guess on that, mate, like talking about you know, like what we call being the chief, it's quite an interesting thing when we're talking about the energies or the underlay on what is complacency and what women aren't valuing or what they don't like. A lot of the times we see these men come in, we call it becoming the chief, where there's the Viking and the panda. And sounds like what you're sharing and what you're talking about, Josh, with the men that reach out to you, a lot of the times, like we do get men who are quite abrupt and you know, they're very stubborn. And these are the men we call the Vikings, where, yeah, it's my way or the highway, foot comes down, they're pushing their family aside, burning everything to the ground. And we do get those men where we just need to sharpen them up and polish them up with a little bit of that panda, the skills around communication, connection, bringing the walls down. Like that's a really, really valuable thing. But at the same token, a lot of the guys that we get reach out, man, because the Vikings are great. We can polish them up, become the chief, when and how to be the Viking. And now they're learning the skills around how to be a little bit of panda. You know, that undertone of I'm being emotional, I'm being connected. I've got the skills around asking my wife how her day is and making sure her needs are met. But a lot of the times, man, we get the opposite where they are that panda. And the panda is that man who is complacent, go with the flow. His wife takes lead. She wears the pants, not knowing that there are two pairs of pants to be worn. Like there's always two pairs of pants to be worn. And that's a really important thing to recognize, that you have your pair of pants you need to wear. And the panda sounds like what you were saying, man. We're getting a lot of guys reach around the panda and they've got that lackluster energy. They're not attractive. They're not valuable. Their wife doesn't look at them the same way. They don't see them as the fucking king. They don't see them as the prize. Or as the chief, who's, you know, the man who is competent, who is powerful, who is sexy, desirable, attractive. It's quite interesting too, man, when we see that. Yeah, one thing I guess, man, I was curious around is, and this is never something that's against, we love psychologists, therapists, all different things, but I'm just curious, man, as to that's what you were doing. What was it that led to you seeing that there was a different approach you could take, still with your expertise through therapy and all of your clinical or professional experience, but yeah, what led to you making that transition, man, into obviously the program? And if you wanted to share a little bit more light about your coaching and what you do now, what led to that transition, man? And what was the gap or the adjustments that led to the impact that you're having now?
Yeah. I'm kind of outing my younger self here. So, but I mean, you know, I blame myself a lot. I remember one of the earliest couples I worked with, I was still an intern, right? Like still learning this stuff. And It was this couple that weren't even married. They were together and they had a child together. So they want to learn communication skills. And I remember I was driving to Tahoe to go snowboard with my friend, and the wife emailed me, and then the husband called me 5 minutes later saying, like, this isn't working for us. We're done. And I took it so personal. And then I would try my hardest. I'd be learning all the different techniques, Gottman, EFT, like attachment stuff, and taking these trainings and trying to help save these marriages. And it was never like working long term. I think I only had like a success rate of like 25%. And I was like, what's going on? And the more I researched it, like, that's common for most marriage couples, right? And the part of the problem is, I kind of use this, like, there's a couple of reasons why. Well, the first is I was watching a podcast recently talking about this, but in the therapy session, it really kind of like honors the way women process their emotions when it comes to situations. And for us men, we're more action oriented. We want a game plan, right? And so for the therapy session, we're sitting there, we're like, just tell me what I need to do. Right. And a lot of guys, like, therapy, like, I remember my grad professor was like, Josh, you cannot give advice. Like, and therapists are not allowed to give advice. That is if they come up with a question, it's like, well, ask them why they're asking the question. It's like, but I know the answer to this. This worked for me. I know the three steps they can take right now to like listen better. I could say, you know, reflect, use these words, say the statement. It's like, no, you need to like just let them find their own tools. And it's like, I get some of that, but for us men, it's like, give me a game plan. Just tell me what to do, and I'll do it. Right. And that's what was missing in therapy. Right. And also, I was like a referee sometimes. I felt like I was like trying to play both sides. And I just knew if the guy just did these universal truths that were working in my relationships with my friends that I was teaching personally, and, you know, all this other stuff that I was seeing online that was working, it would work. But I think the therapy model is a bit outdated, right? And it's we need a more modern approach and a more, and especially in a situation like saving your marriage, like, time is of the essence. Right. So you can't go in there and just like, when the wife wants out, it's like, just, you need to start taking the right steps that have been proven with hundreds of guys. And so that's what's kind of like led me down this path of like, as much as I love therapy, it's given me a lot of useful skills and tools for processing emotions, but understanding your limiting beliefs and reorienting your behavior is limited in its capacity. And that's why I decided to kind of like branch out into coaching.
It's intuitively, man, like, and I'm glad that that's coming from your man who's, you know, psychology therapist and like has that backing, because for me, and I tell people that, man, I don't have that, but for me to just openly say that, it could get met very quickly with someone going, oh yeah, but you're not a marriage counselor, you're not a psychologist. But to hear what you're saying, it's so intuitively true. Again, nothing against the industry, but in what I've seen, where so many guys have come to us and they've tried that first, and it's like the platform from which they can take action is outdated because they're not getting the game plan, because they're legally not allowed to advise and give them the tools and steps. And then secondly, just like in school, man, we all learn things differently. I can learn about woodwork by being hands-on a different way instead of looking at drawings and mathematics around how to cut something instead of sizing. Like, we all learn things differently. And like you said, it probably plays to the platform and where women are expressing their emotions and got that outlet. They can really, almost in that setting, solidify that they are going to leave and justify why, instead of going, well, hang on a minute, this is what the man's going to do, but you couldn't even give that advice. And what you're saying, man, intuitively, with so many fathers and men that we've worked with, that's exactly what we've seen happen. And it's tough, isn't it? Because obviously the industry has good intentions at heart, but maybe it is a bit either outdated or not the best interest for how the man could create the right changes to generate the rapid turnaround.
Yeah. And I would say we're also, therapy and psychology is great at understanding like relational dynamics, and they're like understanding their emotions and kind of like this, I guess, the panda skills in a way, right? Like more of the feminine approach. But what it is lacking is that we were never taught in like therapy, like if in a relationship problem, like tell the guy to take the lead, right? You know what I mean? To be assertive, to, you know, not being reactive to her tests and all these things. Like, that's not taught either. And that's 50% of the puzzle. I mean, it, or at least more sometimes for a lot of these marriages. And so that also was kind of limiting the scope of practice as well.
For sure, man. And that's what that's what I love about when we talk about the chief. I've done a few episodes on this, and it's one of our principles, one of our core principles inside HPF. But you think of a panda, right? The pandas are super strong. Like, they're like, but they've got that, you know, like a belly exposed and that playfulness, and you see them and they're quite funny at times when you watch videos and whatnot. And, but it is that, can I be vulnerable, but come from a position of vulnerability where I'm so valuable and I'm strong that it's not taken for granted. And that's the fine line, man, where, like you said, that assertive nature, sometimes that 1% is 50, 60, 70% of the dynamic that is out of balance. And when the man course corrects that, he starts to project an energy that is authentic, but also paints him to be the prize because, you know, like it's something that was, again, a natural learning curve for me, man, because I was the fat, overweight boy who was depressed and picked on and bullied, never had girlfriends when I was younger in high school. And so I was the nice guy. I was super nice. And I hate that that's the term that brands men not being valuable, because I think you can be nice. I say good now, but yeah, I think there's nothing like I'm a nice guy now today, but it's so funny when you look at the energies, it was always the bad boy who got the girls and they were the one that were the elusive cat that the girls could never get. And he had several girlfriends, and I always used to look at that and I was so confused because a lot of the times he was ugly as fuck too. And I'm like, this dude's not even attractive. But I look back now, isn't it funny, man? Here's some two good looking roosters right here, you and me. But I look at that and I'm like, it's because, like, with respect, he didn't give a fuck. He went without needing, and most people in the world are insecure. So when they see that, they want to be around that. They want part of that. I want something I can't have, and I want something I am not. And he would always have the pick of the flock and always held this level of power. It's weird. Did you ever notice or see that when you were young? Like, it's a energetic.
Oh, I remember I had this crush on this girl. Okay, I'll tell my nice guy story real quick, and then I'll explain why this is actually, because a lot of guys don't understand why this is an issue. So I remember I had this crush on this girl from my freshman year, and finally got the chance to date her in my junior year of college, where she lived 10 minutes away from the school, and I'm going to pick you up. You don't have to walk 10 minutes. And so I would drive her, and it was working. Like, she was spending time with me, and she was starting to get more open with me. And then, oh, you're going to this party this weekend. I had this whole game plan, figured out what I would say to her. And then I would finally go for the kiss. I made out with her, like the first girl I ever made out with. I was like, oh my gosh, asked her to be my girlfriend. And I was just like on cloud nine. And then one day I forgot to pick her up, right? Forget to pick her up. I woke up late, and I was like, oh no, she's going to hate me. She's going to hate me that I didn't pick her up. And she had to walk all the way 10 minutes to school. So I am texting her and she's not responding. I'm like panicking, right? So I get the bright idea to ditch class to go out to buy a chocolate and a sorry card saying, I'm sorry for not picking you up. And I thought it was the most brilliant idea ever. So I see her at lunch. She smiles when she sees me. I'm like, okay, she probably sees the card, right? I walk up to her. She's like, oh, he's giving me a card and chocolate for no reason, right? She looks at the card, starts reading it. And some guys can maybe see this with their wife. All attraction just died in a moment. Like, just all gone. Like, I'm sorry for not picking me up. And it was just like, for her, the next week, she found this like bad boy guy. And like, I lost her to this guy. And he was like shorter than me, less attractive, like objectively. And I didn't get it. And but that being said, the reason why this happens is because I don't look at everything through a prism of evolutionary psychology. But when it comes to dating and attraction, there's a lot of merit to it. And if we were evolving, right, and your wife is with a man and she has to take care of you, right? And she has to like cater to your needs and like protect you. And you're like, oh, is everything okay? Is everything okay? How can she expect you to protect her from rival tribes or this, you know, saber-toothed tiger? And I think you probably would protect her, but on a biological level or a feeling, she wouldn't experience that. And attraction is a feeling. It's not a logical process, because a lot of guys say, well, on paper, I've been a good husband. I provided for the family. I did these things. I'm a nice guy. She should like me. But you're not providing for that emotional need she has, right, in her heart. That's why a lot of women, when they finally say, I'm done, it's like, I just feel it in my heart, or I'm getting a sign from God, or just like, it's just a feeling they can't explain, but it's coming from that primal need.
100% agree, man. Like, it's, yeah. Like, it's so, and that's a little fat boy inside me when I'm young. I'm like, that fucking sucks, man. You were looking after, you're doing all the right things. You were protecting and nurturing her. But you and I both know that, like, let's say in that card, if you had been a little bit, and they love, there's so many different layers, right? Like, they love you being a bit cheeky, and you know, a little bit bad sometimes. And let's say if you wrote in that card, make sure you're not late next time. I was waiting for you, but I forgive you. And just like that little sort of wink. And it's like, as stupid as that sounds, even if you're in the wrong, that would make them more. And it happens with my wife all the time. And I dismiss it. I'm like, oh, that's cool, baby. No, good. I'll let you off this time, and I'll let you off the hook. And it won't make any sense, because I would have dropped the ball somewhere. It doesn't make any fucking sense. But she's like, how dare this guy be almost arrogant and so certain and cool. And that's what they like, man. And that's the, what you're saying there, like that primal part, man, that's, again, it doesn't have to be the only way. I see it with so many people talking about that dynamic of being a good but dangerous man. Jordan Peterson talks about that. You want to be a dangerous man who's competent, but like a samurai with his sword that's sheathed. You want to be, you know, it's not virtuous to say I'm not a threat to society if you're piss weak and you're not a threat. It's like, it's not virtuous. Of course you're not a threat. Look at you. Man, I see that a lot, but that's what I love with our visual with the men was like, they want the Viking. They don't want the Viking all the time. They're not looking for a berserker. They're not looking for a robot, but they want that. And then when Corinne knows that, not through her experiencing it and the children, obviously, but she knows from me playing rugby back in the day, from I guess my nature and my attitude on certain things and my approach and me sharing my views, not so much on her and the kids, but on areas of life. She knows I can be that fucking savage man. Yet here she is with the ability in small pockets to tame this warrior who can bring the walls down for her. Women really love that. It's like, wow, he's actually being soft with me, even though he can be a savage.
Well, we could talk about female porn for a second. Romance novels, the archetype of the love interest is always the same. He is this, like, think of Beauty and the Beast. Everyone knows that one, right?
Yeah.
That is the primal, Jordan Peterson talks about this. That is like a woman's romance novel. Here is this guy who's a savage and a beast and everyone's afraid of him, but I'm able to turn him and make him calm and soft. And like, that is what they just get off on, literally. Like, so having that in you where you can cultivate that in her and see like, oh, he has this like killer in him, but he uses it to protect me and he's soft with me. That is, she loves that. But guys, I think the main reason that I've seen is like, they're so afraid of conflict. And that stems from a lot of past stuff that I help guys work through on why they're afraid of conflicts. And working through that is also very important, imperative to go away from that panda into this higher level guy, this chief you talked about, is knowing why, what is the source of that fear of conflict for you and why you're afraid to like stand up to your wife and have boundaries with her, right?
Yeah, that is fascinating, man. Like, why do you, because I agree with you 100%. And that used to actually be, funnily enough, because that's what I was lacking when I was a kid watching movies. That was always my favorite, Beauty and the Beast, because I wasn't the beast, but I always wanted to be. So that was always, man, my favorite cartoon.
And now you look like Gaston.
I mean, he's just throwing, he's got like a dozen eggs and he's breaking things with his biceps. It's the funniest movie, man. I watched it like the other month with, because my girls are 6 and 4 and they love it. But you're right. Like, you can see that, isn't it? Like, it, in terms of women really being drawn into that. But what the conflict, like, I look, man, like I said earlier, like, I love being the lazy lion. It's like, I'm an efficient machine. I hate waste. I love growth. So I don't want to spend any fucking time on something that is unnecessary. I'm not sure if that's the reason why guys avoid conflict. But for me, I will bypass that if it means my integrity is getting challenged. So I'm not afraid of conflict with my wife. But what do you think, man? So many guys just avoid it and go with the flow. Are they tired? Are they run down? They just don't realize the waiting and how bad. Like, what do you think it is, man?
I mean, I think it comes from going back to what we were saying about like your relationship being an iterative process. And I think a lot of us, we love challenge and peace. Like, think of sports. You know, rugby, it's like fight the other team, and then like exaltation when you score, right? That's the male archetype, the like challenge and peace. And I think we have a belief that our woman should not be a challenge. And that's just arguing with reality, because she always will be. And so I think like there's a mental switch in your mind that you're like, she will always challenge me. Every woman that I get with will challenge me. And I think if I think I could replace this woman and get a woman that's not going to challenge me, you're dead wrong. Every woman will test you, because it's that inherent biological part of them that just needs to feel like they're with that guy. And so if you can start to fall in love with her test and see it as an opportunity to express like and gain attraction and like open her up, and it's like that constant dating her, when you fall in love with that, you adopt that identity that aligns with that belief and that value. That's the tricky part there. It kind of becomes autopilot that you like these tests. Like, that's because you're like, her doing this is challenging me to be the best version of myself. That's what women do. Right. Every criticism she has, she's not feeling your presence and your love. Every test is this underneath it all. She's like not feeling loved, whether it's not feeling supported, not feeling heard, not feeling validated. She's not feeling loved. I'm going to kind of like, that's the general idea here. And so in those moments, you're like, I'm not being present. You're right. Like, by me not being a man of my word, saying I'm going to go do this thing and then I don't, and she gets pissed off about it, she has to go do it. I wasn't being a man of my word. She should be getting pissed off. Think about that. Going into that next argument, if you had that belief that she should feel this way, it's okay for her to. How different you would approach her versus like, oh, why is she always neck? I hear the guys, I always challenge them on their narrative. Like, oh, my wife the other day, she was stabbing me. I'm like, why do you got to call it stabbing? Like, how about she's in pain because you're not being the man that she thought you should be? Like, think of how different you can approach her when you're like, she's nagging again. She's being a bitch. She's stabbing me versus like, oh my God, my wife's in pain right now. It's my opportunity now to help her through this, to get her out of that storm. Night and day difference.
Man, that's an amazing perspective, man. That's a really good, it's an empowering and proactive one because you can actually then do something about it. Instead of sitting on a state, you can actually action it and do something about it. That's a great way to look at it, man. I think a lot of men got some golden nuggets then in how to approach and maybe not take it so, or you mentioned ego, maybe not take it so right at the start, not take it so personally and not let your ego get in the way and get defensive as opposed to being blessed for the opportunity to go, hey, actually there's something in this. I should explore it a bit more. And that's, back in the day when I used to look at porn, but we didn't have as much sex. I'm like, she knows that she never accused that I was seeing someone else, but she knows that there's an energy that's dropped where the hunt isn't on and I'm not pursuing her as much because I'm relaxed and I've had my release. And then I look back years ago, it was like, we were hardly ever intimate. And I thought it was just because we were in a season, we were young, but we were in an old relationship because we've been together since we're teenagers. It wasn't that, man. It was that I was obviously doing that. And then that was making her feeling less desirable. But there's no, like, it's funny. You ask women who are the best communicators and they say they are, but are they? It's like this shitstorm where we don't communicate at all to our wives, but they communicate the wrong things. What they say they want is not what they want. So it's so funny because it's like, this big shitstorm where you're not on the same page, but I can see that, man, where they, the reason why they're responding or even not responding at all, that them in themselves are signals for us to look at what's going on and to address and be proactive about changing.
Yeah, that's very well said. And speaking of communication, I mean, 90% of a couples when they first come to see a therapist, they say, like, what's the problem? Communication issues. Like, even though we're speaking the same words, we are speaking the same language underneath it all. Like, communication has layers to it, right? And women are they're a lot more indirect than they speak, than direct, as opposed to men. And they are seeking connection and we are essentially seeking challenge and growth, right? And so now there's differences. Men seek connection as well too. Women do seek growth, but generally that's what happens. And so like with the logic and the emotion, especially, this is the most common one. I'm sure you teach this because if you don't, here you go, but I'm pretty sure you do. Is like, when a woman comes and complains about something, right? A problem at work. I always use the example of like, she complains about her boss as a guy. Oh, I get to solve her problem. I get to make her feel better, right? Like, hey, have you talked to your boss about this? You can find another job. And she's like, I'm not looking for a solution. I'm venting to you, right? I want you to just be like, oh my God, your boss is such a dick. He doesn't appreciate you. Like, why do you even work there? Thank you. Exactly. Like, that's what she wants. She's seeking connection, right? And so, but the problem comes is when like the problem is with you, because when the problem is with you, you're like, she's attacking my ego. Now I need to defend myself, right? And so I always tell guys, it's not about like, you can definitely defend yourself, but first, when she's in this storm of her emotions, it's like, help her have dust settle by understanding what she's going through emotionally. Once she feels understood, that all that blood in the prefrontal, in the amygdala and the thalamus, it's like out to the flight or fright part of her brain. It's like, that will go to the prefrontal cortex. She'll calm down. And then you can say how you feel about it. Seek first to understand, then be understood, right? So that's one of the main skills I teach guys when it comes to communication.
That's epic, man. Yeah, I love it. That's so true as well. Like with looking at it fundamentally in all they are different points of connection and ways that we can connect. And a lot of the times we're missing the mark by assuming what they need or assuming what they want, even through their words or even through how we're wired on being Mr. Fix-Its instead of looking for a solution. I try as best as I can, man. I'm not perfect either, but I try as best as I can when the house is going crazy, the three little ones and then the wife. And I always ask the question, instead of how can I fix things or what's the solution, I always actually ask what's the desired outcome? And I think it's interesting, man, because when you mention that around the solution thing, when Corinne would be, say, talking about work or whatnot or wanting to get things off her plate, off her chest. I think there is a difference between I don't try and fix things, but ask myself, what's the desired outcome here? And the desired outcome is just for her to be heard. So that's, if you want to talk about fixing or the solution, well, that would be the desired outcome will be, yeah, I appreciate you sharing that, Corinne. That must have been a tough day for you today. It sucks.
And a lot of times that's like the male brain too. And I'm not saying that you're wrong and wanting an outcome, but I think a lot of guys are like, they're thinking to themselves, what do you want from this? Like, why are you bringing this up? What are you trying to get to? And like for a woman, there is no, like, she's in the present moment, right? She's more in the present. She's not thinking of the future. She's like, I just feel this way. It's like, she's not like that. I think don't quote me on this. I mean, you could talk to your neurosurgeon friend, but I'm pretty sure like the future thinking planning is in the prefrontal cortex as well. Right. And so when she's in here, she's like, she's in her body. She's in her emotions. She's not thinking, why am I talking about this? It's just, this is how I feel. It's just like a vomit of like emotion. Right. And so the only thing you can do with it to play with that and be like, hey, this is how you're feeling, right? You know what I mean? Like jujitsu, judo, her emotions back to her. She's like, yes, that is how I'm feeling. Absolutely. What do you mean?
100%. No, you're spot on, man. Nath Wallace, a neuroscience wizard, he actually talks about men, the part of the brain in the men that, or in human beings, it's emotional. For men, it's actually 20% larger. But the way we're wired, unless we do things like music at a young age, it's like women have a 6-lane highway on their left and right brain, which means they regulate emotions more. Whereas men, it's like a big pendulum. So we got nothing. But then we are actually more emotional, crazily enough, than women. So when it comes, boom, it explodes. But you're right. The actual, what you're talking about there, it's so funny because he mentioned the example with children. And it's the same thing. When children, especially teenagers, they've got the, you know, everything's going nuts. We need to bring them back to the prefrontal cortex. And it's three steps. Calm things down, like just create stability again in the environment. The position and the emotions. Yeah, it must have been really tough. You're feeling that way. You know, that boy said that to you today, and validating and acknowledging their emotions, and then cognitive training or redirection or understanding, which would be like, yeah, if there's anything you need, like I'm here for you. Like I feel for you. That would have been tough. And if you want, if there's anything else you want to talk through, work through to process it, I'm here. And it's like, same. I'm not saying women are the same as children. Men are the same too. It's like, yeah, if I'm fucking raging and firing up, that's why having the outlet, like training, gym, exercise, it's a great way for us to regulate. But for us as men, calm everything down and having that shoulder to lean on, or yeah, that's I think neurologically, mate, like what you said is, yeah, that lines up funnily enough exactly with what Nath was saying. Man, that dude's been in neuroscience 25 years, but it's epic, man. It's been great to connect with you, Josh, and yeah, really appreciate your time, man. And I've loved this, and hopefully, man, this is the first of, you know, many sessions and episodes. And as we discussed, man, really looking forward to the opportunity of bringing you on the inside as well. But I guess just to wrap up, man, I'd love it if you wanted to share, if there are guys out there listening to this right now, well, probably two things. One will be absolutely, what are your socials, like Instagram, Facebook? Do you have titles or names? Yeah. And I'll put this in the post too. But then I guess final thoughts or advice, if there's a man out there who's getting those warning signs, you know, I love you, but I don't feel the same as I used to. And all these little warning signs out there where they feel like things are drifting, any advice or final? I know there's obviously a pretty solid process what you've shared, but any advice or final thoughts on that as well, mate, and where they could initiate or start creating the change?
Yeah, the advice is in the way you worded it. Actually, it's a warning sign. It's not like a final nail in the coffin. And again, like I've seen this too many times to not be utterly certain about this. The men who believe there's a fighting chance to save their marriage and they can win her back, that's at like Viking part of them, like that, like, you know, conquer in them, get her back, right? And then the ones that say, oh, those words means it's over, she's done, it's over, I'm done, like, it has to start there as the foundation, right? You have to have that belief that you can, because if there's no hope, then you're not gonna, even if you do all the right actions, it's not gonna be backed by that energy, right? That confidence that she feels, she picks up, like she's intuitive. So I'd start there, and then I would go back to what I said before about having just brutal self inventory. How the hell did you get here, right? Be honest with yourself, like I'm tied on that sword, as you say, man. Like look, you haven't been your best self. You gained 20 pounds, you're not as energetic as you used to be. When you listen to her, like, you're distracted at work typing emails while she's talking about her day, you know, you're not, you used to get her flowers twice a month minimum, now you haven't done it in like 6 months. Like, where have you dropped the ball, right? And when you guys just started those two positions, man, those two steps, you would be amazed at how much progress you have towards your marriage. And then I would say, like, how can you also be a leader just 10% more, just 10%? Like, what would happen? And for you too, actually, you added on this onto is like, what is that future outcome? Because when I talk to guys, when I would get on original like consultation calls, I don't take them anymore, but I would always ask them, what's your goal 90 days from now? What does it look like? The way I say it is like, you wake up, you take a magic pill, right? You wake up 90 days into the future, you have the ideal future you want. What does it look like? The guys that win the white pack are like, oh my God, we wake up at 7 a.m. Like, I make her breakfast, I make her eggs, and they see it vividly in their mind. The guys that are unsure, like, I don't know, like, I just want her back. I want things the way they were. If you can't see it, you're not going to hit it, right? So I would also say to do that. And the last thing is, I guess the best place for guys to find me is just my Marriage Mastery YouTube channel. This Marriage Mastery is the YouTube channel, and they can check that out.
Yeah, I love it, man. Now, you give some amazing content and value away, and I wanted to make sure the boys dive on into it and really, really explore that. There's a lot of gold nuggets from today, man, but there's obviously a lot more value that you provide on a bigger scope too for guys to access. So great advice too, man. Nah, thank you, bro. It's been great connecting with you. And I hope you enjoyed this as well, mate. Got some good value out of
It's been fun. It's been fun, Alex. Yeah,
unreal. And I hope you boys got some great value out of this. I would absolutely say share this with your wife, because one of the steps to initiating change I've found historically would be rewriting the track record that you've written. And more often than not, the track record you've currently got in your wife's eyes anyway is that of the lone wolf. When you're showing other things like, wow, he's listening to this. And he never listened to this before. Like, you don't even joining a program. Just that for a start shows her that you're actually open to getting better awareness and initiating change. So, mate, absolutely, boys, share this with your partners, your wives, or anyone else you think we get value out of it. But hope you guys got some huge value from this. I certainly did. And Josh, thank you again for joining us, man. Well, that wraps up another episode. And just as we wind this down, I want you to just reflect and think back through some of the golden nuggets, some of the revelations, some of the sore points, some of the things that might have hit home with you. And then just look at ways that you can apply a different set of actions to change your position, change your circumstances, change your feelings, and change the facts. These episodes are done with your best interest at heart, and there's always something we can get from that. Maybe it's not the first time, maybe it's the second time. We've had members listen to episodes 4 or 5 times, and then it finally clicks. But either way, I hope you got a lot of value out of this. And also, if this is something that you really want to solidify inside of your life, repetition is the key. You've listened to it, write down your revelations, think about them, read them, speak them, believe in the changes that you will carve out in the action plan of those revelations to create change in your life, and then share that. And when you teach, you learn the second time, right? So teaching and showing this to others you love and care about is the greatest way that you can remember and make sure you consistently learn and relearn what is it's true and what is it is important to you in your heart. Take care. Have an amazing day, night, weekday, weekend, and I'll see you for another one soon. Cheers.